How are we? How are we doing? Are we okay? I don't know what's happening, but my eyes are tearing off. Tears are coming out. I've been asking for water to drink, but now I need something to dry the water in my eyes. I couldn't sing that last song while standing because I sense God's presence here. Hi. Thank you. God is gracious and He's faithful and He's doing so much in our lives. And we have to acknowledge that He is here. We saw His presence in the first evening. We saw more of His presence yesterday night. And we're going to see even more of His presence today as He sends us out into our front lines, our homes. And I just want to pray for those who will be like, I don't think anything is happening yet. And they're wondering, why is everyone on the floor and why is everyone in tears? Why is there like tissues being passed here and there? My reassurance for you is that if it was only you in this world, Jesus would still have died for you. So no one is insignificant before God. So let's pray. Well, I thank you for each of these young people. You love them so much and you're never, ever, ever gonna let any of them down. For those who already sense your presence, for those who are asking what's happening, each of them, you've put your finger on them and said, this is my child, this is my own. I lay claim over them. So I pray that you help us to know how much you care for us, how much you love us, such that as we think about your greatness, your love, your power, we can be inspired to seek your face without fear. Give us your Holy Spirit so that he can inspire us, he can guide us and lead us as you send us out to love our neighbor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So bear with me, I won't be as long as I have been. I'll be out of my comfort zones to work within a very short time. Being an African preacher, we tend to have 2 hours to ourselves to preach the good news. But I know we've been here, and this is not the end. It might be the last day, but this is the beginning of an adventure that we've been preparing ourselves for. And so we celebrate and thank the Lord for being with us throughout the few days we've been here. We must remember that we are fully known. God knows each of us. He knows our fears, our secrets, our shame, our struggles, our weaknesses, our pride, our strength, gifts, pain, shortcomings. And even after him knowing all of that and our doubts and all of that, he still loves us. His love is not a hypocritical love. It's a genuine love of a God who knows us so well. I challenge us to read Psalm 139 to see how much God knows us and then be able to know that he still loves us. How beautiful a life we live in, the knowledge that we are so loved and cared for, that in our lives the greatest of all walks alongside us. Jesus is the greatest of all, but he walks alongside each of you. In your struggles, in your successes, he is there next to you. He's not there like a policeman, as we said yesterday. He's not there like a spy. He's not spying on your life. But he is like a faithful, loving father, desiring the best for you and for myself. How beautiful it is to know that he is there with us. He's not gonna let us down. To know that even when we feel that we need a physician, we need a doctor, we need a caring friend, that we can go to him. So in our Christian life, we allow Jesus to dwell in us, and we dwell in him. I have never sort of figured out how that works, that we are in him and he is in us. It's a mystery, but that's true. And hence, our identity is shaped and changed. And when our identity is changed, as we were looking yesterday, the world tends to look at our identity according to our behavior. But Jesus says, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to change their identity so that they can behave the way I want. I'm going to start the other way around. So we are Christ's children. We are God's children. He has made that very clear at the starting point. Our identity has been dictated, and he has made that clear. So we are living out of that. We are not aiming for a different identity. So that affects our behavior, our attitude, our life, and everything that we do towards the Creator and his creation. It shapes all of that. So as we aim to be Christ-like, we are reminded of the Sermon on the Mount, which would encourage us to go and look at those beautiful attitudes that Jesus encourages us to. So today we're going to be looking at loving our neighbors. Not like the person next door to you at home, because that's like the sort of the minimized version of a neighbor. But if everyone else outside you is your neighbor. And as we think about that, it might be like, you mean that's possible? You mean I can love my parents? You mean I can love my siblings? I'm not saying being nice to them, because everyone's told to be nice to people. It's loving them genuinely, loving them in the hardest of contexts. I remember growing up, my dad was really harsh to us as a disciplinarian, but also very harsh to my mom. And always prayed for him. And I remember praying for him here with Dominic, that he would come to faith. And I remember I had prayed for him since when I was 5. It took 25 years. It was one of the lessons that I celebrated my 30th birthday here. But he rang to say he had become a Christian. So it's possible that we show our love without giving up, even when things are not looking like they're asking for love. We are being challenged to build a community. And the bricks for this community we're going to be building is love. The bricks of love. Not the bricks of anger or vengeance, not the bricks of hate, but the bricks of love. That is the community we are thinking of building. So I said, I'm not asking us to be nice to these people that we'll be talking about. I'm asking us to love them. That is the command that we have here from Jesus. But I remember on the first night saying, we don't want to do this as a law, as a command. It just looks threatening. I want us to do this as an adventure, something we want to do. And the reason why it's an adventure, because we are not being pushed to do it. We are following the leading of the Holy Spirit. We are following behind him. He is going ahead of us. Earlier on with the leaders, we prayed that God will go ahead of you, such that you will not be doing your random stuff of expression of love, but you will be listening to the Holy Spirit and asking him, how do you want me to respond to someone who has abused me? How do you want me to respond to someone who thinks I'm a mistake or I'm insignificant? How do you want me to do that? So we are following the lead of the Holy Spirit, because it can look really a hard thing to do, to be asked to love your neighbor, because this is inclusive of everyone. And so my call and challenge to us today is to become Jesus' apprentices. I don't know whether that's how it's said. Is it apprentices or apprentices? Apprentices. Or gappers, like Ethan is doing with crops. But this is not a one-year gap year. It is a lifetime gap year. Lifetime. Gap lifetime thing. What would you replace the year with? But we are being called to be God's gappers in the world. And you know, an apprenticeship, you follow the lead. And our leader is a perfect example, Jesus Christ, who has been through the ups and downs of life. And he's saying, will you come alongside me so that I show you how to love them? And he's very honest. He says, these guys are going to hate you. They're going to kill you. They're going to persecute you. They will not respond with love. Some will, but not all of them. But still, will you be my apprentice? However challenging that can be. So we are being called to be Jesus' apprentices. I know in the past we have commissioned you and prayed for you to go and evangelize. But today's commission is different. We'll be commissioning and praying for us to go and love. To go and love. It is very easy to open the Bible and read for someone. It's very easy to pray for them. But it's really hard to love them. But it's so easy to preach for them, to preach to them and pray for them if you love them. It makes it even easier. So you do it in the right order. So we'll be praying that God sends us out, first of all, to love. And the speed at which you seek to satisfy your personal need, it is what Jesus says when he says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The same urgency that you're seeking God, you were seeking God with yesterday as you cried for help. He wants you to think about your neighbor in the same context. And that is what it means when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. As you feel the pain of yourself seeking help, you have to feel the pain of your neighbor the same way. So if God was working and dealing with your pain yesterday, he's saying, have the same burden for your neighbor, just like you have it for yourself. The same urgency, you have to have that shared. So we have to love them, we have to serve them, we have to forgive them, we have to bless them, we have to give them what we've got, we have to share it, we have to encourage them, and we have to seek to unite them. We have to be the voice of reconciliation, and we have to be patient with them. Jesus was really patient with his disciples. I mean, this guy dies on the cross, rises again, and then when he comes back, he finds them, they've gone back fishing. And he's like, three times he asked Peter, do you love me? And he is making this question, he's questioning us the same way. Do you love me more than this? Do you love me beyond the 4 days of let on hold? Are you going to go back to where you started from? Or are you going to carry on with him as his apprentice? Are you going to go back and things are going to be back to normal? Or are you going to carry on in the same fire of the Holy Spirit? How is your response going to be when he sees you 3 weeks after Leton? Because his voice is going to be there. You open the Bible, you pray, he's going to say, do you love me? You have to ask yourself that question. Are you ready to show love beyond Leton? There's a guy who came to a church the other day and he was talking to us about scattered and gathered. So we are gathered here as Christians. It's very easy to feel that, oh, these are Christians. I'm able to do what God is calling me to do. But he doesn't want you to go and blend in. He wants you to stand out even as you get scattered into your homes and to your schools, wherever you go. He's sending you to your front lines, to your families, to your friends, to your workplaces for those who are working, to amongst other colleagues you've got, to those who go to sporting activities. He wants you to be a Christian there. He wants you to be a Christian amongst your enemies, those people who have mistreated you or abused you, and equally to your online friends, the people you game with. He wants you to be a witness there. You have to allow him overall influence. It is not limited to the people you see physically. There are people who you connect with online. He wants you to be his witness even amongst those. I'm going to have a look at 8 different ways that the world has communicated this love and this mission. It has to start with a transformed inner condition, which empowers us to live in a transformed way. So we're going to be looking on the flip side and then on the right side. And we're going to be looking at that together. So the first one is that Christians are not different. We have the world saying that to us. You guys are not different. We are very different. I said yesterday, our God is different. And if we worship him and we are becoming like he is, it is obvious we are different. We are not the same. We cannot blend in. My good friend, who hopefully was meant to be here, but he isn't, Sam Higgins, his favorite verse is 1 Peter 2:9. And when you look at that in the King James Version, it says we are peculiar people. I don't know what you think about peculiar, but sometimes it can be defined to be weird people. People who are unique. And that is how we are. We have to understand that on the flip side, the world will say, oh, we are all the same. But you have to be reminded by the scripture that we are not the same. We are different. We are peculiar. And how we impact the world, how our attitude towards the world is, it's to be different. We have this, the world will say, only, well, we Christians are very good at saying this, that only certain people can share their faith. And most of us like to privatize Jesus. I know Jesus is with me when I am at Leyton Hall. As soon as I step out of this area, I'm going to go back to my real self. Take off the masks. Allow Jesus to dwell inside you wherever you go. It is a mask we like to put on. That only a few people have been called to share their faith. But all of us have been called to share our faith. All of us. We share our faith in how we live our life, but also with our mouth. So we have what's called the action side of things, but we also have the proclamation, which is what I'm doing, teaching, preaching the word of God. But the main one, which I do most of the time, and what you're expected to do most of the time, is how you live your life. How you live your life will either send people away from God or draw them closer. You have no choice. I have no choice. My actions and my words are either going to draw people close to God or send them further away. It's just a matter of investigating and seeing how we are doing in that front. The third one is really interesting, that our needs matter most. That's what the world teaches us. It's me, myself, and I. I am the primary thing. But in a Christian faith, we are told that others' needs come first. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, we are reminded that others' needs come before ours. We must remember that every human being is treasured by God, and so how we treat them really matters. Each of them is a treasure of God. Everyone. Some treasures have come back to him already. Some of them are the lost sheep that he's still looking for. But everyone is a sheep of his flock. Are you helping him to draw them back home? Are you bringing the prodigals home? Or are you joining in locking the gate so that they cannot come in how you live your life? We must be deliberate to bring them back home. We must put other people's needs first. If you look at the passage about the lost sheep, Jesus makes it very clear that when one comes back, the heaven business stops and people celebrate. That is this worldly argument that if we disagree, we must divide. There's going to be lots of disagreements amongst us and amongst us, between us and those we love. But we must remain united. If Jesus is our common thing, if Jesus is what draws us together, we must remain united. We can disagree, we can agree to disagree, but we must remain united. I always say to people, please don't win the argument and lose the person. We are so good at wanting to win an argument. We are so good at not wanting to be on the wrong. Sometimes it's so painful when, like, you left the door open, I didn't. And it's like, you can argue about that for a long time. So please, when there is time of conflict and disagreement, be willing to lose the argument and win the person. It might take a long time, but please be willing to do that. So Christ's followers must remain united. There is this common thing that only when we forgive will we be forgiven or healed. This was the hardest one I came across when I was preparing for this session. I have to say, I have believed that lie. That it's when we forgive that we heal. It's not true. I'm sorry if you held to it, because I had. But the good news is we start from the place of being forgiven. God gives us airtime to forgive. Our forgiveness is not going to happen when we forgive others. It is because Jesus has forgiven us. He has nailed on the cross every sin that we have had, anything that we have done wrong. We start from the place of forgiveness. And so we are empowered to forgive. I know some of us, when you've got those nice iPhones and it wants to update the operating system, let me use that. Sometimes it says you have to be connected to the Wi-Fi for you to be able to do that. Or you have to have your phone fully charged or up to a certain percentage. And that is the best explanation I can give to you about forgiveness. We need a certain level of forgiveness from God so we can forgive. Our forgiveness is not going to happen when we forgive. Our healing is not going to happen when we do these things to other people. Otherwise, if we forgive them and they don't forgive us, we blame ourselves. If we forgive them and they forgive us, we credit ourselves. But my prayer is that we understand that we start from the place of forgiveness. God has forgiven us. God has dealt with this on the cross. So as we live today, you're not going to be healed when people forgive you. You have been healed already. You have been forgiven already. You are starting from the place of victory. Be aware of that. God has given you all that you need. And then we sometimes we are told that the community serves my needs. And that's the consumer mentality. But we must remember that the community shapes our life. The Christian community. Some people will say, I go to church. But we have to say, as Christians, we are the church. We shape the community that we live in. We have to live a life of generosity. There is this idea of people are very judgmental. Like, what do you do when you see a homeless person? You start thinking, if I give them a tenner, they're going to go and use it for drugs. And like, you start prejudging them. We have this idea of scarcity, that if we give what we have, we're going to be left without. But Jesus reminds us of the story of the woman who gave her last penny. And we think what we have earned for ourselves, we are entitled to it. But the thing is, we have to allow ourselves to use what we have. We have to lose it. We have to give it away. And God brings it back. We have to sow those seeds. We must remember it's God who provides. We are so good at holding, keeping control. I want to ensure that my account has this amount of money, and then I'll feel safe. We have to allow God to be the provider. And we have to be good stewards of what we've been given. And then the place of worship in our Christian faith. Some people make it very private. It is just about me and myself. But God is challenging us. As we go and share our love for His people, He's challenging us and saying to us, we must be reminded that this is a general thing. What you have received here at Letton, it's not just yours. It's to be shared to others. The love that you have received from God, the grace that He has given you, the mercy that He has shown to you, show it to others. I said yesterday, that's the only debt that Jesus didn't pay. He paid everything else, but He left us the debt to love one another. He didn't do that. He gave us the privilege of showing love to others. And we must remember, as we do all of these things, that we need God on our side. We cannot please Him without Him. That is how He wants it to be. We cannot please Him without Him. We have to be on His team. The Holy Spirit of God is guiding us and empowering us. So it's good for us to start thinking, who are these people that God is challenging me to love? The people who may not cooperate. People who may not show you the same love. But you still have to love them. You still have to care for them. This greatest commandment is only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. It happens when our minds are continually renewed. We have to allow God in, step by step, to the place of giving Him our all. And so we are coming close to a time where we're going to pray for each other. We're going to be sent out as Jesus' apprentices to go out and share his love. Remember what I said, it's not the romantic love that we're talking about. It's a sacrificial love of putting others' needs before us. It is willing to be like Christ. I've just said a few minutes ago that we are starting from the place of victory. We don't send you out there to go and seek Christ. He is with you. So we are sending you from the place of victory. As Christians, we do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. As Christians, we are not going to love so that we can be loved. We're going to love because we have been loved. It can be daunting if we look at it the other way, but if we are reminded that we have been loved and empowered to love, we have been forgiven and so we are empowered to forgive. I'd ask us to be on our feet, please. I'm going to read a poem, a famous poem that was written by Mother Teresa. It is called Do It Anyway. Some of you might know it. And the reason why I found this necessary for us to read it is because the thing is, some of you, the first person you will be wanting to go and show your love to and share your worship with, they might not give it back to you. They might be rude or they might be unreasonable. We are sending you as sheep amongst foxes. We are sending you into a world that's broken. We are sending you not to blend in, but to stand out. So as you listen to this poem with prayer, ask God to empower you. It says, people are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of a selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend your years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create it anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. And so we start from a place of being loved, a place of being forgiven. And we are being sent to love everyone. This list is inclusive of all, because Jesus didn't build walls around himself. And I know some of us are like, I'm going back to a really hard situation. I don't know whether I can truly love. And I don't know whether if I love, I'll get it back. But God is saying to you, go and do it anyway. God is saying again that these people that you're thinking of, these people perhaps whom you have written off, they are still his children. He treasures them. So will you love them for him? Because that way they will be drawn into his kingdom. I know some of us have been hurt, and there is this saying that hurting people hurt others. And I have said to us, we are not going to be healed by forgiving or being forgiven by others, but it's the forgiveness that we have received from God that will give us healing. And we are being encouraged to be a generous people, to grow together into a beautiful community. We are being encouraged not to go and hide our faith. Go and share with others. So I'd like us to just open our arms and put them in front of us. I know in the past we have sent you home and said to you, we are commissioning you to go and evangelize and share the good news. But we've made it very clear today. We are commissioning you to go in love. However hard that might be, we are commissioning you to go in love. To go and seek to reconcile. To go and seek to bless than curse. To go and seek to allow God to revenge for you and not take revenge on your side. So as we pray, I know some of you, God is bringing some random names of people you know who have hurt you in your mind. But even those people, he wants you to show love to them. So with our arms stretched forward, let's pray. Lord, we thank you because we are not starting from nothingness. We are starting from victory. We are starting from the place of being forgiven. We are starting from the place of being loved. And as you send us out, Lord, to show your love, help us to be a true example of who Christ is. Help us to be willing to go on this apprenticeship. May you shape our reaction to those people who we live with. Especially our families. Lord, I pray for healing for where there is brokenness. I pray that God will be willing to be different, will be reminded that we are different. I pray that God, as we go out and seek to love others, that you will equip us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to see this great commission as an adventure. That we can be able to go on with the Holy Spirit, following His lead. Thank you, God, for what you're doing amongst us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness. I feel like there are some of us who are doubting whether this is going to be possible. It is not going to be possible with your human effort or my human effort. It's only going to be possible with God on our side. I know some of us are asking themselves, can there be peace in my family? Can there be a sense of God's presence? Yes. God says yes. If you take me there, I will be there. Lord, we pray for healing for those who've been hurt by others who they feel they cannot be able to love. Pray that, God, you will bring healing, Lord. Help us to forgive, not so that we can be forgiven, but because we have been forgiven. So, Holy Spirit of God, we thank you. We welcome you to go with us as we go home. Help us not to go and blend in, but to stand out. Empower us, equip us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So have your seats for a moment. So we are a family of God. There is at the moment over 2 billion Christians in the world, even though there is over 7 billion people, we still can make a difference. So as you go out there, remember, we'll be praying for you. But I just want, for only 1 minute, just pair up. Look at someone. Ensure everyone is paired up. Quickly, quickly. That she can only take a few seconds. Quick, 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 quick. Ensure you're paired up. The reason I'm doing this is so that you guys can commit to pray for one another in this journey. It's not going to be easy, but you didn't. Perhaps some of you randomly sat next to each other. Perhaps you're pairing up with someone you don't know. But I just want you to promise to be praying for that person as you journey on into the great adventure. So Lord, thank you for these people you've paired us up with. We pray that we can commit to be praying for them, to encourage them, and to stay in touch with them. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.